So it looks like you got it. That looks right. And I see that it's reacting to my voice, so I'm impressed. You've done well. Everybody give Andy a hand. So we are working through the first chapter of 2 Peter. Primarily, we're working through verses 5 and 6. And tonight, I want to look at a verses 2 Peter 1:5. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge." So virtue is from the Greek word erete. You got to love words like that, right? Erete. We should all talk like that. We should all learn Greek, and we should walk around using those Greek words because they sound so much better than English words. They sound so much cooler. I mean, erete. What a great word. It means a virtuous course of thought, feeling and action, virtue, moral goodness, any particular moral excellency, such as modesty or purity. This is true goodness. It's actually what is good. In fact, the NIV, when all of the people got together that were translating the NIV, you know, when they do a new Bible translation, they get all these Bible scholars together and they talk to them and they get their opinions on what these words mean. And there are scholars that they went to school just to understand Greek. They went to school just to understand Hebrew. I don't understand people like that. But that's what they did. And they get together and they talk and they'll go through the actual text, the earliest recorded manuscripts that we can find of each passage, and they'll figure out, go through word by word, what does it mean? What does this word mean? And they all have their ideas, you know, because you have to put it into context. It's not just, you know, the word erete isn't just sitting out there floating around. It's in a context. What does it mean in the context of where it's at? And so these NIV scholars, and there were about 50 of them that got together to translate the NIV, they came to the point and they decided that the best translation for erete in this verse is good, goodness. So it would read, supplement your faith with goodness. And that's a good thought. Supplement your faith with goodness. Supplement that what you believe in with goodness. And that's a big thought. I mean, you hear that word and you might think of something really, you know. Some of you may not know who Pollyanna is. You ever heard of Pollyanna? Pollyanna goodness. You know, Pollyanna was this character who she always wore the little blue gingham dress, and she had the blonde pigtails, and she always like the always smiling, always happy. And when you think of goodness, you might think of someone like her, but that's not what this passage is talking about. It's talking about something more. And it's talking about something that we need to understand. See, there is a problem with American Christianity. And that problem is that for the most part, we're known for what we're against, not what we're for. We're known because we're against this or we're against that, because we march against this or we speak out against that. Do you guys know a couple weeks ago Westboro Baptist Church was here? Do you know who Westboro Baptist Church is? They are the people that picket at the funerals of soldiers, and they picket at the funerals of gay people who die, and they carry the signs that tell us all about who God hates. They're wrong, but they carry them. they were in town because they were picketing a school over in Maple Grove because that school, the school board did not take a strong enough stand, they felt, against gender-based education. And they were picketing North Memorial Hospital. Why? Why picket? Why waste your time carrying a sign that tells people who don't care what you think that they're going to a hell that they, first off, don't understand, and they could care less that you think that's where they're going? So why waste your time carrying a picket sign? Why waste your time doing that? What's the point? I have a question. What if we, as Christians, us, and that's not just the handful of us that are in this room, but all of us as Christians, what if we were known for what we're for? Do you know what we're for? Do we know what we're for? How about this? We're for proclaiming good news to the poor. We're for proclaiming freedom to the captive. We're for restoration of sight to the blind. We're for proclaiming liberty to the oppressed. What if we were known for that? What if that's what we were known for? What if the next time there was a major national natural disaster, a hurricane, a tornado, something like that, instead of some talking head in a suit who thinks that he's the voice of God, getting on television and saying that this is happening because it's judgment from God, what if the only thing that the news could see is those of us who are the body of Christ carrying what needed to be carried to that place? What if all they saw was us doing everything that we possibly could to help? What if all that they saw was us doing everything we could possibly do to rescue? What if the only thing they could say about us is, boy, those Christians, they sure brought in some good food for us to eat. Those Christians were right there when we needed water. What if that's all they could say about us? You think that would make a difference in the way the world sees us? You think it would make a difference in the way the world thinks about the church? Now, I want to be fair here. There are a lot of Christians who do that. It's just that it's the other guys that get all the press. It's the other guys that the news people flock to because, well, they're more colorful. Peter says we need to supplement our faith with virtue. And we can call it goodness. But we need to understand what that means. Goodness is not just behaving properly. It's not just doing the right thing, the proper thing. That's a weak definition of understanding goodness. Let's put goodness into a proper biblical perspective. In Mark 10, verses 17 and 18, here's the story. Jesus is walking on the road. He is setting off to go to some place because Jesus was always walking someplace. He was always going somewhere. He was always moving. And as he was walking down the road, some guy ran up to him. And he got his attention and he shook him and he got his robe and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." Everybody in here should have just went gulp. Because if we're supposed to add goodness to our faith and only God is good, Peter is telling us to do something that's a pretty big thing. He's telling us to do something that is a pretty amazing thing. But Peter liked to do that. It wasn't the first time that he had done that. See, back in his first letter, in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 and 16 through 16, he wrote this. He said, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Be holy. Ethan, go out there and be holy. Go, be holy. God is holy, you be holy. Andy, go be holy. Can you do that? Yeah, we're in the same boat. I probably can't either. It's something that we can only be through the grace of God. And listen to me, that doesn't mean that we'll never sin. It doesn't mean that we'll never make a mistake. It doesn't mean that we'll never fail. But here's what we can fall back on. David was kind of a jerk. And God called him a man after his own heart. He committed adultery with a woman, and then he had her husband murdered to cover up the fact that she was pregnant, and then he moved her in and married her. He wasn't a good guy. Good guys don't do that. Good guys don't act like that. But yet, God said that David was a man after his own heart. If David can do it, we can do it too. We can. But how does it work? How do we do it? See, we all have this voice that speaks into our mind. All of us, every last one of us. It's kind of like those cartoons. Remember the cartoons when you were a little kid and you saw the guy and he was trying to make a decision and there was the white angel on this side and the red angel or devil on this side and they're both whispering into his ears. We all have that. We all have that going on. Every one of us, we hear the voice of Satan in our head. And here's how it goes. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You can't do it. Don't even bother trying. You can't do it. We all have that voice. We all hear it. And it tells us we can't be holy. We can't do it. But I'm here to tell you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond anything that that voice tells you, that you can be. Look at what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me." He had a voice whispering into his ear, "You can't do it. You're a waste of time. You're wrong. Paul, who makes you think that you're so great?" 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, listen to this. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. No matter what is going on in your life, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient, and his power is made perfect in your weakness. You're not supposed to be strong. You're not supposed to be. Because if you were strong and you were doing it in your own might, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to die? So look at what Paul says in the rest of that. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus looked at the Pharisees who were saying that his message was a waste of time. And he said, I didn't come for you. I came for the sick. You think you don't need me. I didn't come for you. I came for the people that know that they need me. Is that you tonight? Do you know that you need him? Do you know that you need him? If you know that you need him, then that's who he came for. God's grace is sufficient for you. Only God is good. But when we fail, he's strong enough to pick us up and dust us off and put us back on the trail. And get this, because this is very important. It's because of this we're able to go out and let people know there's good news. There's good news for the poor. There's sight for the blind. There's freedom for the captive. There's liberty for the oppressed. It's because in our weakness he is strong that we're able to do that. And when we hear the lies of Satan telling us we'll never be enough, we need to respond with God's truth. You know what, Satan? You're right. I'm not good enough, and I never will be good enough. But I don't have to be. Jesus is. Yeah, you know him. He kicked your tail 2,000 years ago. He's good enough. He's strong enough. In my weakness and in my ungoodness, Jesus is good. And he's given me his righteousness, and he has declared me good. And his grace is sufficient for me. Then we need to go out and we need to stop expecting everybody to live up to a standard that we know we can't live up to ourselves. Did you ever think about that? Why are we going out and expecting sinners to act like people that we can't be? We need to go out and live in the grace that God has given us, which will change us. See, there's something to the list that Peter gave us here. Check this out. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, the passage that we're working through says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Okay, now listen to this. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. there's something about that process that changes us. There's something about going through that. That works in our lives, and we're not ineffective, we're effective. We're not unfruitful, we're fruitful. We're transformed into the image of God. Oh, and by the way, then we are holy, and then we are good. That's how it works. There's another side to this virtue thing that we need to talk about, and we've got a few minutes, so I want to talk about it. And that's this. It's moral goodness. It's more than going to Sunday school. It's more than coming to church, even on Sunday night. And I know only the real Christians come to church on Sunday night. But it's more than that. It's more than lifting our hands when we sing a song. It's more than walking around and speaking only in King James English. You guys do that, right? When you're out there, when you meet each other on the street, is, how art thou, my dearest sister? Oh, brethren, how art thou? You do that, right? That's how you talk? Yeah. No, it's more than that. It's more than speaking in tongues, and it's more than prophesying. It's becoming the very aroma of God to a dying world. You guys know we are the aroma of God to a world that's dying. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16, Paul said this, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." Listen, we're not out there to tell people who God hates, and we're not out there to tell people they're going to hell. The chances are pretty good that if those people end up in our line of sight and we're talking to them, they know. They know where they're going. They may deny it. They may try to say, no, it's not true. I don't believe in that. But deep down, they know. And how do we know that they know? Well, what did that passage say? To one, a fragrance from death to death. When we talk to someone and they have no desire at all to hear the gospel, they have no desire at all to hear the good news, they can smell the death. They can smell it. And I'm not talking physical, all of a sudden it starts to stink and sulfur and stuff like that. Spiritually, they know. In their spirit, they know, and they may do things to try to avoid it. They may run as far as they possibly can, but they know. And you know how we know that? Because at the end of the day, you talk to any person who has taken that route, and they have run, and they've gone as far away from God as they could possibly get. And they were running, and then they end up running into God, and they come back to him. Every one of them will tell you the same thing. I knew I was running from God. I knew what I was doing. Because we all did. We all knew. It's not a surprise. So we're not out there to tell people who God hates, and we're not out there to tell people where they're going. But this is what we're out there to do. When people are hurting or disenfranchised, we reach out to them. when people are angry, we speak peace to them. We sit with people, we talk to people, we reach out to people. Because at the end of the day, and hear this clearly, at the end of the day, people are never our enemy. Ever. I don't care what you do as a person, you are not my enemy. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We never wrestle against flesh and blood. Our fight is spiritual. Our fight is against principalities and darkness and wickedness. That's what our fight is against. Our fight isn't fought by carrying a sign. Our fight is fought on our knees praying. Our fight is always in the spiritual realm. And those people that are doing that thing that we hate are not the enemy, they are victims. And until we understand that, we're going to have problems. Paul is saying in this passage, we don't need to tell people they're going to hell. They know it. We don't need to point it out to them. We just need to add virtue to our faith. We just need to add goodness to our faith. We just need to go out and be the body of Christ to a world that so desperately needs what God has. And He'll take care of the rest. You guys get that? Does that make sense? Someone shake their head yes. Okay, thank you. To your faith, add goodness. Let's pray. Lord, we are your body in this world. We are your representation. You have given to us the message of reconciliation, and you have told us to go out and make disciples. This is what you've told us to do. This is non-negotiable. It is for everybody. We are all called to do this. And Lord, Peter put down some very wise words inspired by the Holy Spirit, that as we grow in your grace, as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, each of those things that is added into our life becomes one more thing that makes us more transformed into your image. And the more transformed into your image we are, the more incarnational we can be, and the more we're able to go out into our world and show them who you are. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to show the world who you are. We want to lift you up. We want to make much of you. We want to make your name great in this place. Let your Holy Spirit search us. Those places where we are holding back, where we are not showing your goodness, call us on it. Show us so we can submit to you more fully. And in submitting to you, we can become more like you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. again, take a look around. If there's people that are supposed to be here tonight and they're not, give them a call. Say, where were you? We missed you. I think people need to know we miss them when they're not here. Yes, even your friends. The ladies that you work with. They said they were going to be here tonight.